The Business Super Conference that all of you need to be at is finally here. Tickets have dropped to the original VFriends holders, but are now available to buy. I have a link in my bio for the people that have never bought an NFT but want to come because they've heard that Busta Rhymes and Deepak Chopra and Steve Bartlett and all these people are speaking. Go to vcon.co, C-O, drop the M, to see what's going on there. But the link in my bio has a site that we have on VCon that will let you fill it out and will help you get a ticket to our super conference, May 18th to the 20th in Indianapolis, Indiana. The conference is bananas. The 50 speakers I'm about to announce, bananas. This is the huge super business, pop culture, and innovation conference. I want everybody in my community to be there. So link in bio or click here because the team is using this in all sorts of formats to make sure you get to Indy in May for the super business conference of the year. I hope to see all of you there.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
I think the reality is I very much do believe that you find what you're looking for. You know, I grew up in a household where I had probably extremities on both sides. You know, I had certain family members who were just disproportionately negative. And like, regardless of, like, when something good happened, it was hedged immediately with like, that's a fucking conspiracy. You know, like just like enormous like negativity. And then my mom, thank God, because it was the primary person I spent my first, you know, 14 years with every day, was so disproportionately positive. And so, you know, I lived a life where it's very obvious to me that you can have a very different perspective on the same situation because I had two very big different reactions growing up to a lot of things. And I just wish that, you know, it's very easy to find negativity if you're looking for it right now, but it's equally easy to find positivity. Nobody's talking about that.
That's very true. You know, you'll find what you're looking for, right? Like in every case, you can look at the same situation, and that's what like a real, that's to me why, how I identify my real friends is we can look at the same situation and see something similar, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
makes
that's
sense.
Cool.
Yep.
You know, because that shared perspective of like, oh, we can see the positive in this, and how you see something changes how you react to it. It changes like the internal composition of what you see. If you're attached to it, if you're invested, if you're swallowed up in the drama of it, you're going to have all of those responses, materialist, reductionist, all the cortisol, all the stress, all the neurotransmitters firing like, ah. But if you just look at it like, oh, isn't that interesting?
And I have a lot of empathy. I can imagine like a lot of people sitting in the audience, like for me, it's practical positivity. Right? So for me, where this conversation goes is like, for a lot of people, they could be sitting here and being like, well, it's easy for you to say. Like, people go immediately to your current, right? And, you know, I just don't see it that way. I really genuinely believe that it's a complete game of who you spend time with and what's pumping into your ears. And so that has led me down a path of really trying to have conversations with people around limiting time with negativity. And sometimes that's hard because a lot of times that might be your mother and father or your best friend for the last 30 years. But I've been fascinated by people changing just by changing who they spend time with and what they listen to.
Yeah, one of the things we were sharing today on the podcast is you mentioned, you know, those people who might be those more negative forces. And you had some really pragmatic advice on how do you handle those situations, you know?
Yeah, I think people get crazy. They hear something like this, like, yeah, fuck it, I'm never talking to my mom again. And I think, you know, that's not necessarily what I'm saying. I think there is a process. But I do think, we were talking about friends, and I do think a lot of times, you know, you sometimes wake up, especially in your kind of call it 17 to 34 year old world, and you kind of look around, you're like, fuck. You know, I'm looking for something a little bit different here, and this group of friends is about this, and that's fine. And how do you like make that transition? I think some people get hyped off a 1 minute Gary V video and like try to like leave their friends behind. I'm trying to context that with, I'm like, you don't need to go that serious. A, I think you should have that conversation with your friends about, hey, I'm like looking to mix this up and like, you know, hanging out all day and smoking weed and playing Fortnite's rad and all, but like 24/7, you know, I want to mix it up. And so I think that, so I think that first you have that conversation with your homies and say, look, I'm looking to do this. you know, a third of them are gonna be like, cool, me too, and they were just waiting for somebody to say something. And then another third you might be able to convince over time through the process. And then another third might just been great friends for a certain part of your time, and it's okay to talk to them, you know, once every month or once every week instead of 15 times a day. And so I think people need to be thoughtful about that process, but I do think it is, you know, that saying is so real. Like, you gotta really look around who you're spending time with. It is unbelievable to me watching employees in my company spend time in certain divisions and then get transferred. I mean, if they get transferred to my team, it's a complete brain twist of work ethic and mindset and things of that nature. But even different teams with positive leaders, like, you can just see it. And I think you can talk all day long about, like, hey, be happier or see it better, and then people walk out of a theater and you're like, how? And I think the biggest thing that is tangible to me is, the fuck are you watching? Like what are you, like, of course you're scared shitless if you're watching propaganda that you're gonna get killed every day, the news. You know, and so like, so, you know, on the flip side though, I'm not talking about The Secret. You know, I'm not talking about sitting on your fucking couch and being like, I'm gonna be a millionaire and boop, you know? You gotta do shit out here. I'm just really fucking curious to what people are consuming, how they're thinking, and who are they spending time with. And there is no coincidence that certain coaches in sports have tremendous programs. It's because it is a atmosphere within four walls, and the players change, but the results do not as much. Obviously, there's variables. And I do think that's mindset and structure and the general theme. And I'll be honest with you, negativity is way too loud, and positivity is way too quiet. And so if you're sitting in this theater tonight and you're also happy, fucking share that point of view, because the ones that are unhappy are sharing at scale.
So my question for you is, how do you deal with a negative friend?
You limit your interaction with them.
Okay.
It's real life. Like,
yep.
A friend is not to be cut out. A friend is to be quarantined. You're gonna have to spend less time with them. You should also be upfront with them that you're gonna be doing that, and that you're, and that you love them. I mean, obviously you're already getting emotional. So this is a longtime friend?
Yeah.
Best friend?
No.
But core friend?
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. Listen,
it's the kids. It's the kids.
Meaning?
She's got kids.
And?
So they try and keep in contact and stuff like that, so.
One more time. Her kids are friends with
her kids keep in contact with me.
That's sweet.
Yeah, and so it's been hard because she's super negative and I want to keep in, huh?
And they're keeping contact with you because they're getting positivity from you?
I'm guessing. I'm not 100% sure, but I've been a friend with her for a really long time, and her kids like look to me as like an aunt kind of thing, which is awesome. Well, but
you can be there for them without interacting with your friend as much, and I'm sure that will veer up, and your friend will reach out to you and be like, "Fuck you, bitch! Like, you're not talking to me. I'm not gonna let."
Usually, vague Facebook posts about it.
So what's that?
I don't feed into it. I don't feed into the negativity, and then she'll go and post on Facebook about how. Without using my name, but
subtweet. I get it. So yeah. Listen to me. Doing the right thing is always the right thing. You're strong enough emotionally to deal with the subtle jabs, even though it hurts your heart.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're doing this for the kids, which is incredibly noble.
Yes.
I also think at some point, it's not against the idea of potentially reaching out to her and having dinner and really going there with her and telling her that you love her. And, you know, maybe that one conversation sparks her going to therapy or recognizing something in her. Like, I always think a last-ditch effort with compassion but candor, right? When you mix compassion with candor, right? When you're not attacking her, you're like, I love you, but this is shit. I think you'll always feel good when you're 92 that you, too many people cut people out or tell them to fuck themselves back. I think you go with compassion and candor, and it's something that you are grateful you did when you're 90 years old. You feel like you did it all that you could.
Right. Yes. Okay. I like that idea.
You know what I mean? Like truly be like, listen, I'm not here to judge you. I'm empathetic to you. This is DNA and parenting and environment. I love it. We've been friends our whole lives, you know, but listen, this is really tough. And this is like tough on me. I find myself pulling away because the negativity is unbearable. Your kids, you know, I want to be there for them. I love them because I love you. Like, is there anything I can do to help you? Like, please, like, tell me, fuck you, fucking Darcy, you think you're better than me. I'm better than you. I just love you, and I know what's happening. And then, because you know her, you're like, this is why Kevin doesn't talk to you anymore. This is why Rick broke up with you in college. Like,
right.
Like, but I'm here. I've been here, and I don't want to disappear, but I can't sustain this, like, level of cynicism, negativity.
Right.
So, like, what can I do for you right now to help? That level, that kind of delivery gives you a fighter's chance, a puncher's chance to maybe fix it.
Yes. And I'd like to help her because she's got such a damaged past in her life that I'd like to be a positive support, but she just puts so much on me that I can't, especially with everything in the world right now. I'm learning who is really super negative and who's going to come out positive. And we just choose to be positive. So it's hard to even hear any of this negativity. And
some people look at the negative. I'm saying to friends, like, hey, I know you're scared, but what if the corona thing didn't happen, you were living your normal life, and today was the day that you were going to get hit by a car crossing the road and dying?
Right.
Everyone looks at the obvious negative instead of the not obvious negative. There's a lot of things that are going to happen. Somebody today stayed home and didn't do something that they would have done in real life that would have led to their death or unhappiness.
Right.
So
they didn't even know.
Correct. So anyway, listen to me.
Okay, listening.
Compassion and candor.
Okay. Two good words.
I think so. And when you mix them together and they're you come from a good place, which clearly you're coming from.
Yes.
If nothing else, when you're 92, you would have done the best effort you could have.
And that's what I want. I only want what's best for her, but she doesn't want to hear it.
Correct. And which means that you have to come at it from a different angle. And maybe the mix of compassion and candor. Because look, candor has been very hard for me over my 44 years. I've gotten better at it, but I'm still not there.
Uh-huh.
Positive people tend to struggle with delivering negative points of, you know,
yes,
having a frank conversation with you and saying, you're fucking negative as fuck.
Yes.
Probably something that doesn't come natural to you given how I see you already.
Right.
So I get it. And I'm going to say it again. Upfront compassion with candor might be something that works. Might be.
Okay. Well, it's a good angle to take anyways. That's all I was looking for. So
I'm happy to deliver it.
You're the best.
You really do change people's lives, dude. Like, I'm sure you know, but like, it's like to a whole different level. So
thank you, bro.
I'm 22. I'm married. I've been married for like 3 years. I just had a baby in January.
Congrats.
So I'm pretty fulfilled in that sense. You know what I'm saying? But one thing I've always loved to do since I've been like 13 is like make YouTube videos, just because like I have had rough patches in my life when I was younger, watching people on YouTube, like, you know, entertaining people. Like, that's always been like, I'm like, wow, like, you know, it's always made me feel good. Like, I want to do that for people too. And like, my thing is like, I love cars. Like, I like racing. I like, you know, building race cars and shit. Like, I have a YouTube channel it's been up for like 4 years, but I've been so inconsistent, you know, like I upload and then I delete it because I think the videos aren't good enough, you know, just like really negative. And then that's when I started watching you. I was in tech school. I feel like I went to tech school and I did all that just to prove myself and, you know, just kind of be like, you know, I'm not as bad as people think, you know, especially when your family says you're bad. It's like kind of rough to deal with that, you know?
It's extremely difficult.
So
it's really tough.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I graduated with a 4.0, which I know in tech school is like not, it's only a year and a half. So it's not like too big of a deal,
bro,
but I tried my best.
Don't undermine your success.
Yeah, I know, just some people, like, I'm sure, like, oh, that's not that hard, but
the biggest issue out of your mouth is the word some people.
Yeah.
Bro, yeah. You have to stop giving a fuck about these people in the comments and the ones that are watching.
Yeah, that's true.
I always listen very carefully. And just like you hedging the 4.0 based on some people is the biggest thing we need to work on the next 91 years of your life. That's where you're at. We got to fix that. And when I say fix that, that feels too heavy. You need to get into a better relationship with that.
Right.
Everyone's always going to have an opinion.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's 100% true. Everyone always has something to say. just to kind of lead up to, you know, what I think about myself, like in the sense of, so like I'm a very negative person, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm a negative Nancy kind of guy. Like literally I wake up in the morning.
You're cynical. Like you wake up and you're cynical.
Yes. Like I wake up and I'm like, what can go wrong today? You know, because like I've tried so hard.
You're ready for this? You're not a negative person. You're a scared person.
Yeah, I could definitely.
Alexis, that's a big difference, bro.
Yeah.
For all the people out there that are watching that are fear, that are scared and fear-based and vulnerable, you're not negative. Don't demonize yourself. You're actually vulnerable. You're not negative, bro.
I didn't think about it like that, actually. I never thought about it.
That's why we're fucking doing tea with Gary
Vee. Yes. That's why I'm glad to be on here because I needed to hear
this. And let me tell you why this is important, Alexis. All of a sudden, when you wake up tomorrow and you realize you're not a negative, when somebody thinks they're a negative person, that's devastating.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm bad. No, you're not bad. You're hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it was something that happened to me, you know, when I was younger or something, you know, it just kind of like sets that, you know, where it's like, what's going to happen today? You know, like, it's such a bad, but like, I feel like that affects me with everything I do because like,
of course
when I'm making YouTube videos or like when I'm doing stuff like that, I'm kind of like, you know, like, oh, this is going to be trash. Like, this isn't good enough. Like, you know, and just like, I don't know, I put myself down a lot. And I'm just like, my original question actually is nothing with what I'm talking about, you know?
Bro, this is the real shit. And like, we're here. I'm with you right now. I like this talk right now. I really, really, really like this talk right now. I think you're helping over the next 10 years because a lot of people watch this video, not when we record it. You're about to help a lot of people. I can see in the comments. You literally just helped a lot of people just in that one moment. So let's keep going. Yeah. I'm telling you that your self-esteem is vulnerable because to your point, you said it earlier, when your family tells you you're not good, you believe that shit.
Yeah, 100%.
We need to get out of that. Does your family still say that?
So like, as soon as I started watching your videos, and I know you say not to do this as much, but like, I feel like, you know, I just tried to cut out negative people out of my life and just isolate myself. Like, I do this a lot. I've actually never had any long-term friends. Like, I've never had a friend that I can be like, oh, I've been best friends with this guy for a long time. I think my best friend right now, I would guess, is like, I've known him for like a year. You know what I'm saying? Because like, as soon as like someone does something that I feel like makes me feel negative, I just kind of like isolate myself and I push everyone away. You know what I'm saying? Like,
of course, because you're emotionally soft.
Yeah. I can see that.
And your Mendoza line for cutting someone off is super low. Like for me, my Mendoza line's super high. Like you have to really, really, really go somewhere. And I've had a lot of things done to me. I had a friend in college who stole my Sega Genesis and I still was friends with him after I found out.
Holy shit.
Because I knew he was in a bad spot to do that to me. I was in a rugged college. But other people I know cut people off because they said something.
Right.
The reason you don't have long-term friendships is because of your own lack of self-esteem and your inability to rise above when somebody goes low.
That was going to be my thing. Like I said, I've been watching for a long time and I know like, you know, I was worse than that, to be honest. Like watching you has made me better. Like, you know, more confident in myself and more like, you know, I can deal with that kind of stuff more. But I feel like it takes a long time too, because even in 3 years of watching you, like I'm still not where I want to be, if that makes any sense. Like I'm still, you know, not like mentally where I want to be and just stop being so negative. And every time something good happens in my life, I'm always like, okay, what's going to happen now? Like you can ask my wife, like I don't get excited when good things happen because I automatically think something bad's going to happen right after.
Bro, I live with this. My father's got a lot of these similar traits, bro.
Holy shit. So
I understand you.
Is there any way like I can, you know, like get better at that? You know, like,
of course. You just said you got better the last 3 years.
Yeah. I feel like I have, like, I feel like I've gotten better at like stop fearing about what other people think about me. That's like a big thing for me. Like I've gotten way better at that.
You know, you see how you've got some muscle?
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
Oh yeah, I worked out, played football in high school. Yeah.
That's how you do this.
Yeah.
Listening to positivity, owning your shortcomings, accept it. You know, the reason I'm talking with such candor here, you know, I'm sure some people are watching like, damn, Gary's like exposing his shit. I'm not doing that.
I mean, I like it. I love it. It's awesome.
Because it's empowering when you own your shortcomings. If you can't own your fucking shortcomings, well, then you can't talk about your strengths. What I think is keeping me here with you is my deep belief that you're on your way, because it's about awareness. The fact that you have the strength to come on here with all these people watching and talk to me like this actually makes me believe that you're well on your way, because I know a lot of people who don't.
Yeah. I'm just like trying to like, you know, like it's such a bad thing in my life that like it's like a mental block for everything I do that it's like, man, I need to stop doing this.
You need to realize that you're not bad. You grew up being told you were bad and you believed it. You need to realize you're not bad. You're scared.
Right.
The second you go from I'm a bad guy, I'm a tough guy, I'm a negative guy, to I'm a soft guy, I'm a vulnerable guy, I'm emotionally like not where I need to be guy, all of a sudden the way you even look at yourself changes, and then you could start focusing on building those muscles on that.
Yeah.
Do you get this feeling that you cut people off because you don't feel like, do you get into this place where you feel like they're pulling one off on you and you don't like that feeling?
Yes. Like I always think somebody has an angle. Every time someone's nice to me, I'm like, okay, what's your angle, dude? Like, what do you want from me? You know what I'm saying?
Did you feel that way about me the first time you saw the content potentially? Like what's going to be the other shoe? Like, is he going to try to sell me a course or what's the fucking punchline?
Surprisingly, I feel like I didn't, just because like, you know, like you were so honest that I feel like you wouldn't be the type to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like you were just being like straight up, like authentic and honest.
And maybe that's because I was remote and through
right
screen instead possibly of real life.
Possibly.
You know, here's where I'm trying to get you to go. You need to get into a totally different place with your self-esteem. You need to love yourself. That's why the biggest moment of this talk was you're not negative. You're just vulnerable. That was the biggest moment, because when you wake up and you're like, I'm scared today and I need to get less scared today, that is huge, huge compared to waking up and saying, I'm negative. I'm a bad guy. That's a game changer, Alexis. That's a game changer.
Yeah. It's like hard though. Like I try to, I really, really like, there's a lot of times where I'm like, okay, like just stop thinking like that. You know, like you got this.
No,
you know?
It's you have to understand it's ingrained in you. So what you need to do is practice. What do I mean by that? This one friend you've got right now for a year, the first time he does something that doesn't pop off properly, you have to like email me or DM me or watch this video game. You have to forgive him.
Right. Yeah. That's, yeah. Not hold grudges.
Bro, grudges are garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grudges are fucking garbage. Grudges are the execution of a weak man.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. It makes you just, you know, makes your life quality go down when you hold grudges.
Is your wife positive?
Yes, she's like the complete opposite of me.
Yeah,
but like I feel like I try to put her down though. Like I'm that bad.
Of course you do.
I try to bring her.
You're not that bad. You're not that bad, bro. I'm telling you right now, if we change the terminology in your life, shit will get good. You're not that bad. You're that weak. You're that scared. You're that soft.
I totally agree with you, honestly. Like,
no, it's big. I want to change your vernacular, because if you do, you'll be a different man.
Yeah.
It's that when you're most scared, you try to bring her down to your level.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. That's why when you say you talk about like haters, you know, like trying to bring other people down,
do you find yourself like being jealous if like another guy looks at her? Like, are you trying to like cage her?
No, not like that, actually. Okay. Like, I'm not like bad like that, but I'm bad in the sense of like when she's like trying to be happy for me for something I accomplished, or positive, or she's
you're
positive
like, don't
about
do that. Don't do that, because something's gonna happen, and then I'm gonna let you down, and that's gonna make
me
feel
like 100%. That's my fear, to like let my son down, let her down. Like I'm always like
Bro, listen to me. The only thing that you can do to let them down is by continuing down the path of thinking that you're bad.
Right. Yeah. No. I can't. I don't want him to grow up like that. You know, like being like me. Like, I don't want
to. Of course you don't. But let me tell you, because I've watched this. I've watched this transpire because I'm old for 44. I got some real fucking emotional wisdom. What's going to end up happening is if your child or children end up having similar DNA to you, you're going to feel so bad that you're going to actually resent them and have like a worse relationship. Like, you'll have a good relationship with the children that take your wife's DNA, and you'll have a bad relationship with the children that take your DNA, because it's going to be painful to you, because you're going to be like, fuck, I passed that on to her or him, so I'm out.
No,
you
I agree.
Can't do that. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm really proud of you. To be at this place at this young of an age, to be self-aware enough to know what's brewing and to have the courage to come on here and talk to me about this shit, that's game-changing.
Thank you.
When I tell you you're close, because the only thing that holds people back is hiding shit.
Right, right.
And right now you just told tens of thousands of people about your shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like that bad, dude. That, like, I'm like, I have to tell someone that actually, like, you know, because like I tell other people, like my wife, when I say other people, I mean like my wife. She's just like, I feel like maybe hearing it from her is not as good because I'm like, of course, you're just going to try to like, you know, bring me up and make me feel better because I'm your husband, you know? So of course, like, I feel like her answer is not as genuine maybe, but it probably doesn't is. Carry, I just automatically you, think that.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, you default into the angle, the conspiracy. You must love conspiracy fucking documentaries. Like you, that's like, you know, like like that's where you're at.
Yeah.
And what's so interesting in the theme of this show is now you know why you're the one that looks at other things and tries to tear people down.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all the same game. I really believe as we go through this period of time in American history specifically and really in the world where hate and negativity have definitely risen.
100%.
I believe that we're going to get into mental health issues and get into, you know, parenting structures. And like what I'm really worried about is that a lot of people that think they're kind and good people are actually shaming people instead of trying to help.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I
of course you do. You're on the receiving end of that.
Yes. Yeah. I think I got to like work on it more, like on a daily basis and just exercise it more. I don't know. I didn't think about it like I'm scared of stuff. You know, I just thought about it like I'm just negative, you know, and like I just don't like people that much, you know, and this and that. But
No. You don't like yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's probably. I really don't like how I am. Like, I hate that mindset that I have.
That's right. But the good news is you can fix it. I didn't like that I didn't have, you know, muscles and, you know, like, and that I was not healthy for my heart. And like, I was going to, like, and I changed it. And when I tell you working out and eating right did not come natural to me at all. So I changed. I figured it out. I got a babysitter, a trainer, and I figured out the system. You just have to figure out your system. Maybe you have to listen to positivity on podcast 24 hours a day.
That's right, dude. I listen to you all every single day, like
all
the time.
And other
like,
people too. And I appreciate it. But like, you know, like, bro, you have to watch this video like every day.
Yeah. No, I probably will. Dude, this is like the biggest moment ever. I told my wife this is like top five like best things like in my life.
Bro, you are just perfectly cliche in so many of your actions. I see so many young people who have this framework get married early as soon as they find somebody super positive.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even realize it. Yeah.
That's
I
right. For you people thirst that are, for her.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell her all the time. I'm like, fuck. Like, I wish I could be like you. Like, I wish I could just think everything's going to be fine. And like, you know, like I always tell her that because it's just such a good, you know, like, you're, like
and instead of making it selfish and say, I wish I could be like you. Maybe what you can do is make it a you're making it about yourself when you say that to her.
Oh, shit.
What you might want to change that to. And this is where semantics of words matter. Maybe you say to her. What's her name?
Noemi.
Noemi, I admire your optimism and positivity. Now all of a sudden you're giving her a compliment because when you say to her, I wish that I could be like you, she's not taking that as a compliment. She sees that as you being selfish about what you wish. You're about you in that sentence.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm saying I wish I was, you know. Yeah.
And what you're doing is you're subconsciously again saying, hey, like feel bad for me.
Right.
Instead of propping her up, you're asking her for another hand. There's a subconscious guilt of like, you got lucky with DNA. I didn't. Damn. And what's going to happen with her is she's going to build resentment for you over time.
Right.
Damn. Bro, I really, really believe in you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Like, you know, I don't normally talk about this with anyone, you know, and normally, like I try, like I said, like only with her, but I was like, man, Gary Vee's like the perfect person to just put this on, you know, and just see like what, you know, what his response would be.
I swear to God on everything in my body, I genuinely think you can win this game.
Thank you, man. I really like, it's life changing to hear that from you. You know what I'm saying? Like it's
bro, please realize deal. That you are wounded. You're hurt. You're not bad. You're good with an injury.
Thank you so much for listening to that entire episode. We want to remind you to give Gary feedback, so make sure you tweet him at Gary V. But if you're listening on Spotify, you can drop your comments, questions, and anything in between in the Spotify Q&A section down below. We'll see you in the next episode.